And that was the momentous significance of that UN declaration allowing them a portion of Palestine again. That was enormous. Hard for us who don't move in that world to understand what all that was about. You see? But, of course, they still live intravenously from the U.S. They're not really totally independent, but they're there. And that's very significant. Tomorrow, the liturgy here will have a passage from the Book of Lamentation. And it will be mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem and over the sins that caused it. And as we see our own world beginning to totter, and we know it's for the same reasons, I think it means, you know, taking seriously the call to repentance and to prayer and to intercession. You know, the Western world has been in a state mentally of apostasy for nearly 800 years. And God has sent prophet after prophet after prophet, all offering mercy. You know, Margaret Mariella Cook, Therese, Faustina, how many? Now what will happen? But, you know, the bright side is, you know, Christianity is moving south. Africa, Latin America, and east. You know, a number of Chinese are becoming Christian, risking everything, including their life. And we're surely called to enter into this movement, you know, to, you know, really repent and pray. Because this is an act of mercy. This is an act of mercy. Isn't it better to be discomforted and turn back to God than to be comfortable and go to hell? Surely. And so this is mercy. How it's all going to play out, only God knows. But this that's going here, I mean, we know the church was established in Rome, in Roman mores were so corrupt that the barbarians just took over. But from that, and from the saints who were there, came the beauty of Western culture. Monks went and lived and founded monasteries, and cities grew up around them. People wanted to be near them because they were praying, because God was there. And people, and most of the large cities in Rome were built around Benedictine monasteries. Benedict, the name Benedict, you know, evokes the whole Christian restoration of Europe. That's why Pope Benedict took the name. Also in honor of Pope Benedict, 15th, who tried so hard to bring peace to Europe. War. I mean, look at those wars. The millions, the best of our young men dead. What blindness. This is the Word of God. And I think it's worth reflecting on. Remember that it's mercy. Remember that it's love. Remember that if the Lord wakes you up in the morning and wants you to get up and intercede, it's love. It's mercy. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that things are just not going to go on the way they've been going. That's the end of that. You know. And what's going to happen? But this story here, this end of Israel, yes, they came back to a miserable little something or other, and they have lived at the good graces of powerful governments ever since. They've never just been themselves. They will be one day when God moves them and they all embrace Jesus, their Messiah. Then there will be peace and the beauty of that. Huh? You notice here it says, the Chaldean troops who were with the captain of the guard tore down the walls that surrounded Jerusalem. In those days, a city without walls is no city. He burned the house of the Lord, the palace of the king, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Whenever Jerusalem is attacked, they go for the temple. When the Romans destroyed Herod's temple, which was a mixed bag to begin with, it was more, Herod loved to build and show off, and he was good at it. He was only half Jewish, so he was hated. And he was trying to win over all the people. Well, it was ambiguous, right? Some of those groups probably never went near the temple, tainted. You know, some went. The fire that destroyed that temple that the Romans set was so hot that it turned the stones into powder. Why am I telling you all this? I just think the Lord is calling us to a greater seriousness. You know, in love and in joy, but serious. Surely if we, who hear the word of God every day, heard this today, can't get it, how's anybody else going to get it? Something is moving, right? And it will be glorious. It will be glorious. But it'll probably pass through darkness. And I think we have to be ready for that. But God's plan is what? That all of Africa worship his son. That China turn after all. We have had this tradition now for nearly 2 millennia. They haven't. Let them be blessed with this. Let them have the Eucharist. Let them celebrate. And let us follow after them. See if we can have a conversion and join them. It's a mystery, isn't it? When Rome collapsed, Augustine went into a huge depression. In fact, he died kind of really very sad. Because for him, that was what was holding the whole world together. Genius and mystic that he was, huh? He was wrong. Jesus Christ holds the world together. And the body of Christ is the church. And that's what holds the world together. Not Rome, not Washington, not Moscow, not Paris, certainly not London. It's Christ that holds the world together. The body of Christ. And we are weak and divided and very sinful and have adopted the mores of everybody around us. Well, that's not how to preach the gospel, is it? No, it's not. This is mercy, however it's going to play out. This is mercy. You know, we have many prophets telling us that the Lord is coming back. Not coming back to end the world, but coming back to reign in his body. The church is the physical presence of Christ on earth. To reign in his body. to bring peace. So I said, oh, there'll be sin and forgiveness. There'll be arguments. There'll be, you know, it's not going to be perfect. But it's going to have the backbone of it will be Jesus Christ. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, it's amazing how far we have come that we can actually discuss and consider issues without ever taking God into account. Oh, I'm not talking about how to make plastic. I mean, anybody can, you know. But about real issues. About even the understanding of how we know. What does it mean to know? When we have, and we get right involved with all these people who have no transcendence, no sense of God, who are atheists. And our tradition is, right from the prologue of John, that all thought in every human spirit in the world is a participation in the light of the Word of God himself. He's the one enlightening everyone who come into this world. And the theologians, the doctors, St. Cyril, will tell us, every thought we have shares in this gift of the light of the Word of God. Faith itself is a gift. It's that way by which we can know God as he knows himself, imperfectly in this life. Do we think about that? What's happened to that? You see what I'm trying to say? We get involved in this and we're just like everybody else. Where's the transcendence? Where's the joy? Where's the repentance? And then the gospel. We're ending. I'm going to quit because I'm late. But we ended the Sermon on the Mount. And now we start the healings. First of the Jew, the leper. Then of the Gentile, the centurion. And then of the Christian in Peter's house. Those are the first three miracles in Matthew. So here comes the Jewish people. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I do. And he touches a leper and makes him clean. That's the hope. The hope is in God, not in us. He will come and touch us and cleanse us. Aren't we lucky? And let the whole world, we've done it, huh? We were going to, and we've had heroes and saints and martyrs preach in China and Japan and Africa. And it's on that blood now that the Lord is going to build. We're very, very blessed, my friends, to be here right now, to hear this word today, to be ready to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son.